Dearly beloved in Christ, today I wanted to share with you a brief account of the life of St. John Chrysostom, because I think there is a good lesson to take away from the crosses that St. John Chrysostom had to bear throughout his life, as many times we are tempted to think that our own crosses are just too much. But if we read the lives of the saints and we compare their crosses to ours, I think we will see that we really ought not to complain, as our own trials pale in comparison to the trials that some of the wonderful saints had to undergo. But St. John Chrysostom was born in the capital city of the East, known as Antioch. He was the son and only heir of Secundus, the chief commander of the imperial troops in Syria. And after Secundus died, his wife Anthusa cared for St. John Chrysostom. Now, Anthusa was a devout Christian, as well as a capable mother, and she saw to the education of her children and the affairs of her estate with all diligence. By means of her loving determination, John was instilled at a young age with the virtues of a Catholic, and St. Chrysostom excelled in his studies under the guidance of some of the most learned tutors in the Roman Empire, even surpassing them in his youth. The highest positions in the empire were open to St. Chrysostom if he would choose to accept them. But whilst he was still young and pursuing his worldly advancements, he was often drawn into various diversions with his friends, which were slowly and imperceptibly enticing him away from his faith. And one day, by the grace of God, he perceived the great precipice of danger on which he was standing. And from that moment on, he swore to leave the world and to fly from its false felicities and wage a relentless war against the spirit of worldliness, the flesh, and the devil. St. Chrysostom clothed himself in a lowly garb, watched, prayed, meditated on Holy Scripture, and slept on a hard floor. His former friends scoffed and jeered at him for this, but St. Chrysostom embraced this trial as a means of overcoming vainglory, an adversary he considered to be the most trying of his spiritual enemies. Soon, however, he was noticed by the kindly bishop of Antioch, St. Meletius, who took him under his care and had him instructed for 3 years in his own palace. Now, during an assembly of bishops in Antioch, the members considered raising St. Chrysostom and his friend Basil to the exalted position of bishop to fill the vacancies in the province. But Chrysostom withdrew and he hid himself, and Basil was elected a bishop. Shortly afterward, St. Chrysostom wrote 6 masterful books called Of the Priesthood, and then he left. He retired to the mountains of Antioch. And amidst these mountains, St. Chrysostom found a group of anchorites. He took up their austere way of life, in which self-sacrifice was a 24-hour experience. But he soon found another and more austere group of men living higher in the mountains. And these were hermits whose courage and ingenuity knew no bounds when it came to penance. St. Chrysostom was at first terrified at the thought of joining them, thinking he might find the hardships unbearable. But in the end, he overcame his repugnance and he joined them. He spent 4 years with the anchorites and 2 more with the hermits when he was obliged to return to the city due to a health situation. But having returned, he was restored to health and the service of the church by St. Meletius, who ordained him a deacon. And that same year, he was raised to the holy priesthood by Flavian, who also made St. Chrysostom his vicar and preacher. With piety and unquenchable ardor, he functioned at his station in Antioch for 12 years, when, because Nectarius, the bishop of Constantinople, was dying, the emperor resolved to secure the election for St. Chrysostom to the Patriarchate of Constantinople. Thus, our saint was secretly whisked away on a chariot by an officer of the emperor so as not to cause an issue with the people of Antioch, because they loved Chrysostom dearly. But after his election, and seeing to it that his family had been well taken care of, he labored by means of zealous exhortations to correct the vices of the people and restore proper conduct amongst the clergy. But though there were some who took well to these changes, the valiant of heart and those who were saintly, the tepid and the rebellious were stirred to action against him. The Saint Chrysostom had many enemies, especially toward the end of his life. And as Christ himself was the victim of his people, so too it was fitting for our saint to be the victim of his people. Within the ranks of the clergy, there rose up against him a certain Severianus, the very bishop he had assigned to care for his church in his absence, and Theophilus, the patriarch of Alexandria, a proud man who had had his pride wounded by an action of Chrysostom to restore justice. But the power behind this hatred, in the cause of much suffering for Chrysostom, was Eudoxia, the wife of the emperor, who was said by a heathen historian to have been avaricious, an extortioner, and unjust beyond measure. Together, these adversaries caused the banishment of St. Chrysostom to a distant place, and they paraded through the city with troops as if they had done well by this. But the people, who loved the saint, were in an uproar that this should happen. And then an earthquake shook the city that night, and Eudoxia repented of her decision and frantically recalled him to his church. Theophilus and Severianus fled, and St. Chrysostom humbly entered the city once again. But the fair weather was not to last for long. Eudoxia was again incensed by the preaching of St. Chrysostom, which could only be the case since the saint was doing his duty to God and the empress was steeped in vice and injustice. The empress invited back Theophilus and Severianus, the ringleaders who despised him, and this time St. Chrysostom attempted to call a council to fix the evils being done. But this failed, and Acadius and Eudoxia succeeded in stifling this council from happening. St. Chrysostom was again banished by an edict of the emperor and was then sent to Nice. But in the vengeful mind of Eudoxia, this was too comfortable a place for him, and he was sent away to a still further city. He endured almost insupportable hardships, and he suffered acute chest pains from a fever which he had contracted on the way. By the end of 70 days, he arrived at the place of his exile, a poor town in Armenia in the deserts about Mount Taurus. Here again, he took up works of charity and did not cease to labor as a priest and a preacher for the conversion of souls, and his work was blessed by God. But soon he was forced to take refuge in the fortress on Mount Taurus due to plunderers, where he spent the winter. But his adversaries in Constantinople had perceived that the whole Christian world revered and defended St. Chrysostom, and so they resolved that they would try to kill him. Again, they sent a dispatch that St. Chrysostom was to be sent to an even further town on the extreme reaches of the empire, bordering the Samaritans. But the troops who were conveying him were instructed that if they caused the saint's death upon this strenuous journey, they would be promoted. Although St. Chrysostom's health was already failing, his cruel guides found that they had to drive him hard before he weakened dangerously. But at last, our saint had to stop. The soldiers marched him into a little chapel to rest, and St. Chrysostom changed into his best clothes, and as he was yet fasting, he received the Blessed Sacrament and uttered his last prayer. It was one which he had prayed for most of his life. Glory be to God for all things. And as the word Amen escaped his lips, he gave up his soul to God on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.